I'm glad to see that the Israelis haven't taken all the water, as they do in the West Bank. I also want to congratulate the Union for creating the climatic conditions we have in Palestine, which makes it easier to be in touch with reality. Let me start by saying that here is a proposition for peace after hearing Chen. I'm sure the Iraqi government, in fact, it already made such a statement, would welcome you and your family back to Iraq and let Rada and Arwa and her family go back to Palestine. Here is an idea for peace. Now, Jews in the Arab world, never thought that in any difficult moment in their history, before the arrival of Zionism, did not ever thought that any solution for a difficult time that they might have had is the establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine at the expense of the Palestinians. When the Zionism arrived, then the relationship between Jews... So, when Zionism appeared, then the relationship deteriorated between the Jewish communities and the Muslim communities and the Christian communities in the Arab world. Zionism was not only a disaster for the Palestinians, it was a disaster for the Arab world, and it was a disaster for the Arab Jews who lived in the Arab world. The motion that we have today goes beyond the question, does Israel want peace or doesn't want peace? The question is far more important. What does Israel want? And what do we do knowing what Israel wants? Not in 1980, not in 1990. What Israel wants today? Today there are 6 million refugees because of Israel, of the current government of Israel. 2 million in Gaza Strip and the West Bank, 1 million in Lebanon, and 3 million in the greater Tehran area. Is this the kind of state that we have to discuss whether it wants peace, or isn't that a state that wants to destroy, to occupy, to dispossess? Isn't this a state that endangers not only the life of Palestinians and Lebanese in the south, it endangers the stability of the Middle East? And further afield, it is now a state that endangers the whole international system of justice and order. So when you vote today, you're not voting only on the question, does Israel want peace or not? You are voting, what do we do with such an aggressive, dangerous political regime that every day is responsible for the killing of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank, in South Lebanon, and threatens the stability and the peace of people all over the region? You are also voting for something else. You are voting to the motion that is hidden within this idea that Israel is an apartheid state. Very much as claimed by the Human Rights Watch organization, Amnesty International, and Israeli human rights, B'Tselem. Can you imagine a debate in the Oxford Union at the heyday of apartheid South Africa with a cheering leader group, kind of cheering group that supports apartheid and votes for apartheid? Surely you have enough modicum of decency in you to vote against the current Israel. Don't think only about the past. The current Israel is an apartheid state that is now threatening a whole region, and already the civil societies around the world, including a large number of Jews, find their government's indifference, and in some cases complicity with this state, and unacceptable. This is what took 1 million young Italians to the street in Rome. This is why we had the 1 million demonstrations in London. These are not anti-Semitic people, as some of them are also Jews. They are not self-hating Jews. These are people who understand what injustice means, and they are fighting with all they can against this injustice. The fact that Zionism started as a colonialist project is the crux of the matter. When Theodor Herzl was going around the world trying to recruit support for the Zionist project, he wrote to Cecil Rhodes, one of the biggest British colonialists who created Rhodesia, "I want to interest you in another colonialist project, namely the colonization of Palestine." When in 1900 the Zionist Fourth Congress convened in London, they proudly displayed products from, in their words, from the Zionist colonies in Palestine. Colonialism, when Zionism started, was not a dirty word, and therefore Zionists use it without any problem. When colonialism became a problem from a PR perspective, then suddenly the whole narrative of Israel changed. We were not colonialists, we were a liberation movement, we fought against the British, we were returning to our homeland. But the early Zionists understood that only with violence and coercion they can plant at the heart of the Arab world a European Jewish state. If you want to maintain it, you have to use more coercion, more violence. Of course, there is resistance of the indigenous population. Of course, there is an anti-colonialist struggle. And anti-colonialist struggles in history are not a walk in the Rosengarten. Yes, they can be violent themselves, but this is a cycle of violence that begins with the colonization, not with the anti-colonialist reaction. So when you are voting today, think about this whole tragic idea, really, that indeed Jews were persecuted. Jews were suffering from genocide in Europe. They were suffering from anti-Semitism. But was the solution to plant at the heart of the Arab world, at the heart of the Muslim world, a European Jewish state on the bayonets of the British Empire? Now, this is a project that had to be maintained by force, this kind of idea. And you needed the British bayonets, the British power. So when someone shows you, you see the football team was Jewish, the currency was Jewish, the posters were Jewish. Of course they were, because Britain was behind it, not because the majority of the people were Palestinians and objected to the idea of the Jewish state. The Palestinians, from the very beginning of the Zionist project, insisted on two principles. And you can see it in all their motions given to the various inquiry commissions that came one after the other. They insisted on two principles which the West claimed it exported to the Middle East in order to show that after 400 years of Ottoman rule, now the Middle East can move to a more enlightened, progressive, westernized future. One principle was democracy. The other principle was self-determination. The Palestinians said, great, we are for democracy. Let us vote of what Palestine should be when there were 90%. Let us allow us to have self-determination, as you promised, and they promised in November 1918, Britain and France promised five peoples in the Arab world, and one of them was the Palestinians, that they will respect the right for self-determination. On the ground itself, Britain allowed the Zionist project to totally destroy the Palestinian aspiration for democracy and the Palestinian aspiration for self-determination. And it makes sense if you think about it. If you build a state in 1948 and you want it to be both Jewish and democratic, what do you do if the majority of the people are not Jewish? You downsize the electorate by ethnically cleansing them in 1948. So you go to the first election in 1949 knowing you don't have to fear the contradiction between the idea of democracy and the reality of demography. This is the whole nature of what we call liberal Zionism. the sense that you can reconcile somehow to have an ethnic racist state and still be loyal to universal values such as democracy or socialism or liberalism. I ask you not only to vote today for the motion. I ask you to think seriously with your representative in the parliament, in the government. What does it mean that Israel is an apartheid state? What should the British government do in order not to mediate between Jews and Arabs, but to save the Palestinians from further ethnic cleansing, genocide, and dispossession? You will be on the right side of history when you do it. So go out in the right door so that you will be at peace with yourself and you could say to the next generation, I was there in Oxford and I showed my moral constitution, my moral courage, and I was not afraid of intimidation and provocation by people who have the courage today, really I admire it, to stand for an apartheid state. Thank you.